Welcome to all. Welcome to Rav Shimon Block, that came all the way from Winnipeg to spend some time with the congregation, and to all the members. Rabotai, we're studying Parashat Miketz. Our parasha talks about the birth of the children of Yosef. Yosef had two children. One of his children was Menashe, and the other one was Ephraim. And the Torah tells us the reason why he called them those names. By us, we don't have to think so much. You name after the grandfather. So you don't have to ask why you named the name. The grandfather's name was Yosef, you name him Yosef. But in this case over here, they didn't have that custom. Otherwise, he would have named his son Yaakov. But the Torah says he named his son Menashe for a reason. Vayikra Yosef et Shem HaBechor Menashe. Ki nashani Elohim et kol amali ve'et kol bet abi. English. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my hardship and my father's household. Yosef was obviously taken from his father's house at the age of 17. By the age of 30, he already was found himself the viceroy of Egypt. He was the only Jew in Egypt. This was a big test for Yosef, to be away from his father. Yosef was the apple of the eye of his father. The Torah says that Yaakov favored Yosef, not because of his good looks, but because he was Hakam, Ben Zikunim, Bar Hakim Huleh. He was Tamid Hakam. The extent the Hakamim say Yosef even had the appearance of his father. He looked like his father. The Gemara refers to them as Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo means they were born under the same mazal. The pasuk says, "Benafsho kishura benafsho." There was an attachment that Yaakov Abinu had with Yosef. So much so that Yaakov Abinu gives his son a ketonet pasim, a technicolor coat, as a gift. And that obviously just wasn't some type of coat for the winter. The Torah wouldn't make a big deal of that he bought his son a pair of gloves in order to brunt the winter of Mesopotamia. The Ketonet Pasim, the Mekubalim say, was made from all Shemot, names of God, with Kavanot. It's like today if somebody gives you an amulet, they call it a Kamiya. So the Ketonet Pasim was like some sort of amulet with the Birkat Kohanim, the Zohar says, was inside of it, like we learned from the Rokeach. So he favored him tremendously, he loved him tremendously. And then what is Yosef's payback to his father? How does he reciprocate for his father's love? So when he has his first child, he calls him Menashe, and he tells him, I'm calling him Menashe because I thank God that I forgot everything in my father's house. Ki nashani Elohim et kol bet avi. I'm very, very happy that God made me forget everything that went on in my father's household. You want to forget your father's household, Yosef? Your father's household wasn't a bad household. God forbid. Some children are raised in troubled homes. They're trying to forget the way they were brought up because they have bad memories. Yosef only had good memories from his father. His father taught him Torah. His father raised him. His father gave him everything. And then, what does he say? He says, "Oh, Menashe, I thank you, God, Nashani." In Hebrew, Nashani is to forget. Where's Elliot? Step down. Banu, how do you say in Arabic to forget?
Nasani.
Same word. Nashani, Nasani. He said, I forgot my father's household. You're proud of it that you forgot your father's household? Not only are you so proud of it, you name your son. Listen, if a guy who's a religious guy and he forgets his father's household, okay, so he should be embarrassed of it. Okay, listen, he doesn't relate to his father's household. You don't name your kid. Everybody says, what's your son's name? My son's name is Forget. Forget? Why did you call him Forget? Because I'm very thankful I forgot my father. You forgot your father, and you name your son Forgot because you're excited you forgot your father? This to me is a very strong question on the Parashah, Rabotai. It's uncharacteristic of yourself, such things. In order to understand this, we have to go back to another question. Yaakov Abinu, for many years, is mourning Yosef. The Gemara normally says, in a normal case, that after 1 year, a person starts to forget. He starts to recover from a loss. It's a gift of God that he makes a person forget. On the day of the funeral, the person says, I'll never dance again, I'll never eat again, I'll never smile again, I'll never enjoy myself again. And he means it. But then a year later, he's smiling and he's enjoying. Of course, it's never the same. Never the same, because there's always a hole. But something happens after a year. One of the members of the Kahal called me up and he said that his wife is taking the loss of her father very, very strongly. So what does it mean? She's crying all the time. She's looking at pictures all the time. You know, she's depressed and so on. I asked the fellow, I said, how many months has it been? He said, it's already 11 months. I said, but the Gemara says 12 months. So he says, what's the difference, 11 months, 12 months? I'm telling you that she's very bad. So I said, oh, no problem. I said, if it persists after the 12th month, then you call me back. But I'm not going to answer your question before 12 months. So the guy didn't understand it. He said, what are you talking about? I'm calling you now for a problem. You tell me call me back in a month, that's a responsible answer? I said, don't be a wise guy with me. I'm going to give you an answer. That's my answer. Call me back in a month. The guy called me back in a month. He says, you're not going to believe it. He's almost as if it's a magic a potion. On the month, on the day of the year, already she had a different disposition. It's almost as if it just like a cloud was black cloud just dissipated from her. So I told the guy, so the Torah's right. So the Torah's right. He called to apologize. In Yaakov's case, Yaakov is mourning for 22 years. He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. Which is very strange. But it's not strange because we all know the truth. The reason why he didn't forget because Yosef wasn't dead. You only forget if the guy's dead. But if the guy's still alive, that doesn't kick in. Forgetfulness is for dead people, not for live people. Don't ask me how come Yaakov didn't figure that out. He probably suspected something was fishy over here. For sure he suspected something was fishy. He said, what's going on over here? If he's dead, how come I'm still crying about it? It must be he's alive. There's something's going on. So, but he didn't have a clear prophecy. The vision during the time of his depression wasn't clear. So he was getting, as she says, it was an aspaklaraya, but it wasn't meira, it wasn't a clear communique. Fine. Today there's classes that they give all over the place that a lot of the ladies attend on positive thinking. I'm not giving you my opinion if these are good or not, because I never heard the curriculum of these classes. You have these people that took a course and they give it over. Basically, it's trying to, you know, make the people think optimistic and think positive. And they teach them that if you think good and you think positive and you think, you know, happy things, it'll attract happy things. It'll attract, you know, good karma attracts good karma. You know, good positive thoughts attract good things. There's probably some truth to it. I don't say no. It's actually a Ben Ish Chai that talks about it. The Ben Ish Chai says that le'olam yergil adam lomar kol da'avid rachamana letav avid. That a person should always train himself to say everything is good. He should train himself to say it, even though in the beginning he doesn't believe it. And then the Ben Ish Chai says, because by saying everything's good, it becomes good. It's an amazing thing. The positive talk, it's almost as if, God forbid, if a person says something negative, it happens. That's why you're not supposed to say negative things. The Gemara says, Al tiftach peh la satan. You're not supposed to open up your mouth to the satan. Person shouldn't say, you know, I want to kill myself. Don't talk like that. And I could die. Don't talk like that. Al tiftach peh la satan. Not supposed to open your mouth up. Even if a person says something by mistake, God forbid, those words can catch. I told you, when we got a ping pong table in Deal, so I hadn't played ping pong since I was a kid, but my kids brought me back into the swing. I have no problem, I'm not embarrassed to tell it to you. So we played for one season. We had a big ping pong season this summer. You know, we had a lot of games going on. So the first game, we said, okay, we have an 11-gamer. 11-gamer. Can I get the 11 spices of the ketores? That's why I have 11 gamers. So now, my son is beating me. It wasn't such a big spread. He was beating me 10-0. It was a close game. So he throws me the ball, and he says, dead man surf. I said, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? What kind of talk is this? What kind of talk is this over here? First of all, that's where you talk to your father, dead man serve. He said, no, this is what we say. This is the lingo of the ping pong. The guy who has one more point to go. So the other guy is called the dead man. No, slow down. We don't talk like that in this house. Every time now I'm going to get to 10, nothing, and they call me dead man serve. Al tiftach peh la satan. So he said, but dad, that's the lingo. I said, for now on, we have a different thing. We say in this house, live man serve. Okay, live man serve. That's what we've been saying. So Eli Gindi comes to the house, wants to talk to me. So he says, I heard you had a ping pong table. He says, I used to play ping pong. He's a good tennis player, Eli Gindi. So I let's go downstairs. So I said, don't play with me because you'll beat me with your eyes closed. Go play one of the boys. These boys, they became, you know. So he has them. He has them on the ropes. So it's back and forth. So my son has Gindi. He's up 10-9. So my son throws him the ball. He tells him, live man serve. The guy says, I'm playing tennis for 100 years. This I never heard, live man serve over here. So I explained it to him. He went crazy. He says, wow, that's a beauty. That's a beauty. So you're right. We don't think about it. The positive language. So the positive thinking attracts positive, events. Happening. There's an energy in the brain. When you think positive, it can bring positive. It's a very, very strong thing. But there's another hadush that I'll prove it to you, but the Hachamim say it. Shlomo HaMelech says, Kamayim lepanim elapanim ken lev ha'adam elahadam. Like water reflects your image. When you look at water, it reflects back your image. So too, feelings are reflexive. If you want to get somebody to like you, just think good thoughts about him. Don't do anything. You don't have to buy him a gift. You don't have to force flatter him. That comes later on. In the beginning, you just have to think good thoughts about the guy, pray for the guy, just think good things, and automatically those good thoughts are going to reach the person you're thinking about, and he's going to have the similar thoughts to you, which means there's a tremendous power here. You're able to turn a person around by thinking positive about the person. The guy's an enemy. The guy doesn't like him so much. The guy has a meeting with Walmart or one of these big... So the night before, you just mechaven, you just concentrate. The good guy, I like the guy, the good guy. Everything's good with the guy. I think good thing. God directs those good thoughts towards the guy, and all of a sudden it becomes reciprocal. All of a sudden it becomes reflexive. I'm giving you a big secret of life over here. Most people don't know the secret of life. You can influence people's attitudes towards you by projecting those attitudes first.
Me'ahuz.
100%. English, please. And when you reflect... Eddie, I don't know how many on you. Eddie, I don't know how many. Another one, I gave you honor. I gave you honor. Rabotai. So when you send the... when you send the good thoughts out, the thoughts are reciprocal. What's the proof? They bring a proof to this. An amazing proof. The proof they say is, if you remember in Parashat Toledot. Not reading the Sefer Torah now. At the end of Parashat Toledot, it says that Rivka tells Yaakov, you have to run away from your brother. Your brother Esav is going to kill you. And then when Esav's anger settles down, you could come back. Only question is, how is Yaakov going to know when Esav's anger is going to settle down? They didn't have emails in those days. They didn't have, WhatsApp and all this type of important things. So how is Yaakov supposed to know? His mother's giving him an instruction. You come back when Esav calms down. How do I know if he's going to calm down in a week, in a month, or 50 years? So she says an amazing thing. Look at the pasuk. V'yashavta imo yamim ahadim. You will stay by Laban's house for several years. Ad, until, asher tashuv hamat achicha. Until your brother's anger subsides. But there's another pasuk here. Ad shuv af achicha mimecha. When the anger of your brother subsides from you. An amazing thing. That means when you start to forget it and start to feel good about Esav, then you know he's forgetting it also. Because the feelings are going to be reciprocal. So when you start to feel it, that means you know, but put it this way. When Esav starts to forget the anger, you're going to feel it. So the pasuk says, Ad shuv af achicha mimecha. When the anger starts to subside from you, v'shachach et asher asita lo. And when he forgets what you did, you're going to feel it. Because feelings are mutual. Even if you don't have to communicate directly to the person. It's a big secret that the Torah is revealing here. Person has a fight with his children, lo aleinu velo aleichem. He could think good thoughts about his children and so on and so forth. Bring them around. Works with a wife. I don't know if it works with a mother-in-law. You don't rely on miracles. But on the normal cases, we're able to use this tactic over here. Rabotai, I'm now about to say a big hadush. Yosef loved his father. Yosef loved his father. Father saved him when he was in Egypt. At that moment that he was about to commit the Avon with the wife of Potiphar, who did he see in his image? He saw Yaakov's image. When he saw his father's image, it stopped him from making Avon. The Belzer Rebbe said, not only Yaakov Avinu, anybody that has a father that's Shomer Shabbat, if he thinks of his father's image at the time of sin, it'll stop him from making Avera. So you see over here, why would Yosef want to forget that? The image of Yaakov protected him. The image of, and then he comes along and says, I forgot my father. Yaakov Yosef HaSadiq was a big Sadiq. He said, my father's back home mourning me. My father's crying about me. And my father doesn't forget me. For sure my father's mourning and he's not being able to recover. So Yosef HaSadiq, he said, I have to do something to help my father. So he says, as much as I don't want to do it, as much as it hurts me to do it, but if I forget my father, then my father will forget me. And if he forgets me, he'll be able to overcome his mourning. And if he overcomes his mourning, he'll be able to be happy. And he'll be able to have a lot. So Yosef, with great mesirut nefesh, with great self-sacrifice, he went out of his way and he said, Ki nashani Elohim et bet abi. He worked at great strength to flush out all the memories of his father, because he knew if he sends across the ocean energy of forgetfulness, Yaakov Abinu will feel it and have the same forgetfulness. So it wasn't out of Chas v'Shalom, a bad nature of Yosef. It was actually something that was positive. And I'll prove it to you from another place, this concept. Yosef is thrown into prison. So the Pasuk says that the son of Mashkin, the butler, he's going out. So Yosef tells the butler, Ki im zechartani, uzchartani. Please, don't forget me. You know, remember me when you go to Paro. Just mention him that there's a guy here in the prison, a good guy. Throw in a good word for me. Huh?
Why was he thrown in prison?
Yosef was thrown in prison on trumped up charges that he committed a crime that he didn't commit. So basically it's an act of God. The butler was thrown into prison because...
Well, I remember why that was in prison because it was an act of God.
100%. Nothing to do with Crazy Eddie, and nothing to do. Don't believe what you read in the newspapers.
I know.
That's it. It's an act of God. And Baruch Hashem, you survived it. Baruch Matir Asurim.
I only survived because of the act of God.
100%. Mr. Anton, this is not group therapy now. I'm relating to it. I'm just telling you now. Now listen to what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you now is that the Pasuk says he tells the Sadam Mashkin, the butler, he mixed the drink wrong, so they put him in jail also. So what happened? He got out. He said, do me a favor, you're going to be close to the Paro. Throw something in about me, mention me. On this, the Gemara says, because Yosef put his trust in this guy, God put him an extra 2 years in jail. It's almost as if God said, you're trusting this heathen, you're trusting this goy, what is he, good for nothing, butler? Put your trust in God. So the Pasuk says, on this story, Ashrei ha'ish asher sam miftacho b'Hashem, ve'lo fana el rehavim v'sate chazav. Fortunate is the man that puts his trust in God. Who's that? Zeh Yosef. Ve'lo pana el rehavim. He didn't put his trust in heathens. Who's that? Yosef. Hold it. He did put his trust in heathens. The Pasuk comes along and gives Yosef a compliment that doesn't fit him. What do you mean? He relied on the guy. Tom Kim Zekatani Uskartani. So what is he doing over here? So the explanation the Hachamim say, Yosef understood that you have to make a shtadlut. You have to make an effort. You can't just do nothing. You have to do something. So to Yosef, what was the shtadlut? He went to this heathen, which he knows he's anti-Semite, the guy. He knows the guy is not going to say his name to Paro. He knows the guy, it's like going to tell, a Nazi, a Jew tells a Nazi, put in a good word for me to Hitler, Yimashemo. Put in a good word. What are you doing? So Yosef knew that he has to make a shtadlut, and the effort to be very, very minimal. It doesn't matter how much this shtadlut is. So therefore he made a very small shtadlut, which sounds even ridiculous, but that shows us that he had tremendous betachon. Because a normal person would not even think that this is... But if you believe anything from God, so then it doesn't matter where the effort is coming. You can make the effort even on a far-flung a place, but he believed it was God. What happens? The guy goes, he gets out of jail, he forgets Yosef. He forgets him. How did he forget him? It's such a bad memory. Well, the simple interpretation is, he's anti-Semite. He didn't want to remember Yosef. It's called a selective memory. You remember what you want to remember. But the Mefarshim say something amazing. The pasuk says, "Velo zachar sar hamashkim et Yosef." The sar hamashkim did not remember Yosef. Vayishkachehu, he forgot him. The rabbis all ask, that's redundant. If he forgot him, or if he didn't remember him, he forgot him. You know how the explanation is? After Yosef told them, remember me, now he made his ishtadlut, now Yosef, for the next couple of days, forgot the Sara Mashkim. He said, I'm going to take the Sara Mashkim out of my brain. You know why? So he'll forget me. So he'll forget me, because the feelings are mutual. Velo zachar sara mashkim et Yosef. You know why the sara mashkim didn't remember Yosef? Vayishkachehu, because Yosef forgot him. And Yosef did that on purpose. Because he don't want to be saved from the sara, he wants to be saved from God. So the pasuk says, Ashrei ha'ish asher sam b'vtacho b'Hashem, velo pana el rehabim b'sateh chazav. He didn't rely on the sara mashkim. That was a little ishtadlut, but once he made the ishtadlut, he destroyed it. May you scowl Yosef the whole day. What are you doing? Machot et zecher sara mashkim. Why machot t'mchei? You need the guy. I don't need the guy for nothing. But I'm not going to get me out of the prison over here. And all of a sudden, the sara mashkim is wondering, how come I don't remember that guy Yosef? I don't have that bad feelings for this guy. I don't understand why I don't have any good vibes with this guy anymore. Because Yosef was sending the bad vibes from the prison cell. The reason why Lo Zachar Sara Mashkim et Yosef, because Vayishkachehu, he already was playing with the brain of the Sara Mashkim from the prison cell, the Rok of Voodoo doll. He already was playing with his memory by forgetting him. Oh, so why did he get to 2 years, the question is asked? He did everything right. Because they come along and say, for Yosef, a Sadiq in his level, even that was too much ishtadlut. And that's the proof that he was on a high level of bitachon again. The proof that he was on such a high level of bitachon that he gets punished for doing nothing. He gets punished for even saying, please don't forget me. Don't forget me. I'm going to hold you everywhere another year. The lesson over here is, Rabotai, that you see over here, Yosef HaSadiq, he did everything in order to protect his father. By forgetting his father, he thought it'll give his father a... But Yaakov suspected that Yosef was alive. The pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu, there's a famine in the land. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer," Yaakov is talking, "Hine shamarti ki yesh shever b'Mitzrayim." He says, "I heard that there's some food in Egypt." Redu Shama. go down, v'shivru lanu, and get some food for us, misham, from over there, v'nechiyeh v'lo namut, and we will live and we won't die. Now, but this pasuk is a very hard pasuk. He says, I heard that there's food in Egypt. Funny way of saying food. Shevet. You don't see that. Ochel. What is a sophisticated word? Hine shamati ki yesh shevet. That's just the word shevet. But they do shama. Go down there. We have to give them directions. They do go up, go down. They know how to get to Egypt. They got the ways and go to Egypt. V'shivru lanu, and get food for us. Of course, we're going to get food for the neighbors. Of course, v'shivru lanu. No, v'shivru la'harim. V'nechiyeh v'lo namut, and we will live and we won't die. Whoa! We live and we won't die. Everything over here is wild. At this point over here, as I told you, Yosef's forgetfulness was working. This allowed Yaakov to recover enough to get some prophecies, to get a minimal amount of prophecies, where enough Yaakov was suspecting that maybe Yosef indeed was alive. So it was working. Didn't work totally, but it worked enough where he was getting these visions, where he was getting these feelings. You understand? He was getting these, notions. And all of a sudden, the holy books say that the Jewish people had to go down to exile. We know that. Everybody knows they had to go down to exile. And we know that the exile was supposed to last 400 years. But we know the exile did not last 400 years. The exile only lasted 210 years. Already Yaakov Avinu said, maybe Yosef is really alive. And maybe this is God's way of starting the exile. Again, these were not clear thoughts. These were thoughts that were mulling around his brain. He says, maybe the exile is going to start now. And Yaakov Avinu understood that the exile is going to be only 210 years. So he says, Vayomer in Yishamati, I heard, take the word Mitzrayim, Rabotai. How much is the word Mitzrayim equal? Mem is 40 and Sadi is 90. That's 130. And Resh is how much? Resh is 400? Resh is 200. That's 330. And Yud is 340. And Mem is 40. So Mitzrayim is 380. You understand? The Jews were supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years. How many years were they there? 210. How many years did they get cut short? 190. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yaakov heard, ki yesh shever, there's a split, a shever, the Mitzrayim. If you split Mitzrayim, split 380, you have 190. That's why it says, ki yesh shever, the Mitzrayim. There's a shever in Mitzrayim. There's a break in Mitzrayim. And that's why right after he says that, he says, Redu. How much is Redu? 210. He saw, ki yesh shever be Mitzrayim. He saw that the Mitzrayim is a shever. And therefore he said, we don't got to go 400 years. Redu shama. But then the question they say is, what happened to 190 years? So they say that 86 years in Egypt was Avodat Parech, was backbreaking labor, And in those 86 years, they worked so hard that it covered the whole bill. 86 is the numerical value of kos. Kos is the cup. That's why on Pesach we drink the kos to commemorate kos Yeshuot, the kos of salvation. Those 86 years were actually 86 years of salvation because they cut the bill in half almost. That's kos Yeshuot. So the Pasuk says, Vishivru Lanu. How much is the word Lanu equal? 86. Yaakov was saying, you know why we're going to get off? The Shivru Lanu, because they're going to break us for 86 years. So the whole Pasuk of here, Yaakov Avinu is getting a prophecy. And Yaakov Avinu at this point, he said, if I'm right, that this is the beginning of the exile, then it's possible that Yosef is alive. Yaakov had a tradition. If all of his 12 sons outlive him, he will go to Olam Haba. But if they predecease him, he will go to Gehinnom. That was the tradition he had. So what happened? You remember when the prophet Hizkiyah was visited by the prophet Yeshayah, Isaiah. And the prophet came to him and he told him, Kimet ata velo techyeh. You're going to die and you will not live. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, met lo techyeh? Of course you're going to die, you're not going to live. And the Gemara says, Kimet ata ba'olam hazeh velo techyeh le'olam haba. You're dying in this way, you know, olam haba. Yaakov Abinu, when he started to suspect that Yosef was alive, he says, velo namut. We will live in this world, velo namut le'olam haba. So therefore, did Yosef's forgetfulness benefit Yaakov from time to time? Clearly you see it did. That these moments that Yaakov was able to have a vision, and to able to have a drop of clarity, of course, it's not as clear as we're making it, because Yaakov Avinu still was not clear if Yosef was alive, but there was inklings. So he definitely, by forgetting his father, brought his father a certain level of comfort, a certain level of nechama. For us, the practical lesson is that the thoughts that we have about people will come back. If you want somebody to like you, you have to think positive thoughts, and you have to send the thoughts across the river, and they'll come back. Similarly, if a person thinks thoughts of animosity and hatred towards somebody, it'll be felt. And that's why the Fikas said, Yaakov, when you stop feeling the animosity, you'll know your brother stopped feeling the animosity. That's when you'll be able to come back. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.